From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, in for Ed Gordon. Los Angeles' Skid Row is home to between 5 and 10,000 homeless men, women, and children. The 50-square-block area has become a growing irritation to downtown business owners. It's also slowing a luxury apartment boom in the city center. Yesterday, we examined ambitious new plans to reform Skid Row and house its homeless Angelenos elsewhere. But these plans would take years to work if they're implemented at all. In the meantime, every day on the streets, a core group of counselors, doctors, and police officers works around the clock to create pockets of stability amid the chaos. For the second in our series on homelessness, we'll join them for a day on Skid Row.
This is actually the main entrance for the mission right here. And the families go in through the other entrance, and the cafeteria is behind these glass tile walls here in that room in there. So
that's Jeanette Rowe, Program Coordinator for the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, or LASA. It's an agency that works with shelters and other service providers for homeless Angelenos. With long dreadlocks framing her face, Jeanette walks with assurance through the streets she knows well. She's giving me and my producer a tour of neighborhood shelters. It's a late afternoon near the end of the month, and the streets are bustling. Families line up to take buses to shelters. People put their tents up on the street, and others loiter. Jeanette says they're likely drug dealers waiting for their customers to pick up government checks.
Everybody owes everybody money.
Everyone's run out of money. They're waiting for their checks at the beginning of the month to arrive.
So are the dope dealers. They're waiting to collect. Even if you don't owe the money, if they know you're getting money, people are in jeopardy this time of the month if they're picking up Social Security payments, things of that nature.
But amid the chaos, changes are afoot. Stony House is a weathered 46-year-old who lives on the streets. He sees the new high-priced lofts making life harder for people like himself.
Well, they are building all these exclusive condominiums for, you know, the people that's pretty well off, you know, and they're running the people on the streets away. It's like last week, I just got out of jail the other day for trespassing at the Greyhound bus station. I was there asleep. I was under my medication. I fell asleep. The security guard got me up and took me to jail.
We walk across the corner from where Stoney stands, past a burning paper bag in the gutter, to a nearby storefront. A big yellow sign hangs overhead advertising the School on Wheels. It's a decade-old program that brings tutors to homeless children. Originally, their headquarters were just offices. But Matt Robb says the kids of Skid Row changed that.
Children made it a learning center because they would come and knock on the window just looking for a place to do their homework, a place to study. And so they came in and they took over and turned it into a learning center.
A brother and sister playing in the School on Wheels try to find any excuse not to leave when their mother calls them. The center's bright, clean world of toys, computers, and coloring books couldn't be more different than the street or mission where they'll sleep tonight. And even with havens like the School on Wheels, hope on Skid Row is always tempered by pain. As we're strolling down the street with Jeanette Rowe, a thin woman dressed in clean white jeans rushes up and promptly begins cursing her out.
I trusted you, lady, and y'all put me in that hotel. I didn't ask y'all to go there. I got too many certificates for you to get my 3-month hotel took from me. That was wrong, and you can look up at the sky, but I'll be wrong, and I'll go to jail if I do something to you, lady. But you was wrong because I trusted you. I'm not like the rest of these motherfuckers. You and your rescue mission. I only came down here because I was referred down here. You don't know how much fucking in my heart I am for you right now.
Officials found drug paraphernalia in a hotel room that Jeanette had placed the woman in. So they took her 3-month-old child. Jeanette, who's been rock solid up to this point, explains the situation with tears in her eyes.
And it's not so much what she said, it's just the pain she's in. And I think that's what it means to me. I kind of feel the pain at the same time. And but she's not as mad at me as she wants me to believe. It's just the whole thing kind of sucks, you know.
As difficult as this situation is, Jeanette's just as frustrated by the larger issues involved. She and her organization can only do so much.
You know, if all of it doesn't end up with them getting some type of permanent housing, we're just kind of putting a Band-Aid on a problem.
L.A. County has a $100 million plan to put shelters in outlying areas, and the city government has a $50 million proposal for permanent supportive housing. Those could add up to a real solution.
Stand up! There's no sitting on the sidewalk. I'm not going to say it twice.
But until area politicians back up their words with action, it's up to the Los Angeles police to maintain the peace.
Nobody sits in front of these signs. This is a church. And whether it's open or closed, it ain't going to happen.
Dion Joseph and his partner Kathy McEnany are senior lead officers in LAPD's Central Division, headquartered in the heart of Skid Row. The officers take us on a ride along through their district, past a storefront church that used to be a party supply store. Officer McEnany.
The syringes and everything else that were constantly getting thrown over the fence, and the feces and the urination, it just drove him out of there, and he moved to well west on Olympic Boulevard. He threw his hands up in his own store and broke down crying. Here's a grown man, tax-paying citizen, that just couldn't take it anymore.
Officer Joseph is African-American and built like a superhero, all muscle. Officer McEnany is less talkative and white. They're both married with children and daily struggle to find a balance between helping people and enforcing the law.
People used to get mad at us. Why are you harassing people sitting on the sidewalk? Dion Joseph does not care about anybody sitting on the sidewalk. But Officer Joseph knows that when people sit on the sidewalk and get comfortable, they start smoking crack. When they start setting up their tents, the gang members take the tents over or give them tents to use to sell drugs out of. And you just have a big orgy of narcotic activity, prostitution, and violence that breaks out as a result. And it all starts with sitting on the sidewalk.
Officers McEnany and Joseph say this is a quiet night. And still, we see people smoking crack, one of whom has dropped his glass eye on the ground.
Pick up your eyeball. It's in front of your left.
Skid Row is a 24-hour open-air drug market, and some local storefronts and hotels have been taken over by Crips, Bloods, and other drug syndicates.
On this block that I'm showing you, this is 7th and Main, crack is the major drug of choice. But as we go throughout the ride-along, you're going to see that different streets have different drugs. Like if we go to San Julian and 5th, that's the weed corner. Every now and then they sell crack, but primarily weed. If you go south on San Julian, just south of 6th, it'll be rock, cocaine, and heroin.
Officer Joseph says the crack trade thrives on Skid Row because the high is both potent and affordable.
Rock cocaine can vary from anywhere from $3 to $5 to your underwear, to your new pair of socks. Like I said, that's negotiable too. Rock cocaine is designed to be cheap, easy to market, easy to sell, especially in areas where the supply and demand is great, like Skid Row.
And with less than a third of the officers that New York City has compared to population, the Los Angeles Police Department is stretched to the limit. That means officers like Dion Joseph have to get creative to clean up the streets.
So we're losing the battle, and the only thing we can do is get smarter. And that's why I've implemented things like foot beats and the sit-down technique. I just sit on a block until drug dealers get frustrated and leave. That's been working. It worked on San Julian. It worked on Main Street. It's going to work on Winston pretty soon. It's working on 5th and San Pedro. But for how long is that going to last?
I have to stop the vacuum cleaner because my kids would throw pennies on the car.
We come across a woman sweeping the grimy street beside her tent as though it were the doorway to her home. Until the city and county's plans reshape Skid Row, these officers have to play the roles of cop, counselor, and doctor.
Hi, Ms. Loretta.
Hi, Paige.
I'm sorry to bug you.
No problem.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing all right. Just
fine. Loretta Marie Johnson is a 71-year-old widow. The next morning, thanks to officers McEnany and Joseph, she'll be trading in her tent for emergency short-term housing. Officer Joseph is picky about who he finds a place for.
And I only try to look for people where there's that hope in their eyes. Somebody with a crack pipe in their mouth and that look like I ain't ready to quit, I don't really give that to them because I don't want them going in there and bringing dope in there. But there are people just like you, I'm sure you saw today that you spoke with, that there's that hope they want to change. So what it does is give them their own apartment. It's a little small thing for 90 days to get their head together, try to find some direction in their life, check into a program, whatever, free and clear.
At the same time police are helping Skid Row's homeless, they're also helping keep the streets safe for the neighborhood's permanent residents, like Jason Trench.
I would say that the neighborhood has done a total 180, especially on Main Street, primarily due to the diligence of LAPD working with the residents, finding out what our concerns are and working together. As you can see right now, it's about 8:30, and there's nobody out on the street.
The officers drive us back to our car at Central Division headquarters. On the way, Officer McEnany proudly points out some of the historic buildings that have been rehabbed from eyesores to elegant apartments.
And this right here is one of the first successful adaptive reuse programs, the San Fernando building and then the Hellman building over here. And they've been turned into lofts and completely converted, and they're part of the downtown revitalization that's going on right now. And it really is amazing when I sit there and I look at what these buildings used to be and how they are now. It's made a big difference in the area. It really has.
Is this all going to become big fancy lofts? And
no.
No, come on. No.
Skid Row's not going anywhere. It's not going
anywhere. But some of Skid Row's current homeless residents, like Stony House, still have hope they can make it out.
I'm going to do everything in my power to bring myself out of the situation because I brought myself here. I don't blame this and my downfall on society and this and that because I'm homeless and there are enough opportunity down here to get out of that situation, whether you're a mental patient or whatever. There's enough help here to do it. You know, you just have to get out and do it.
Most analysts agree that reforming Skid Row will take years and hundreds of millions of dollars. Every day until then, in virtually every city in America, millions of homeless men, women, and children will have to struggle with smaller but no less important questions. Where's the next meal? The next bed? Treatment for addiction? And those who serve homeless Americans, like Officer Kathy McEnany, struggle to make sense of it all.
It's not okay to sleep on the sidewalk in America. It's not okay. It shouldn't be accepted. Why should people be sleeping in Coleman tents on a sidewalk in downtown Los Angeles in 2006? It's unacceptable.
SL35 is on the radio.
You can see photos of some of the people I met on Skid Row, plus hear more of their stories. Just go to our website, npr.org.